How are we doing there, Adam?
Good, thank you. Glasses and talk is always good. Hiya folks, how are you doing? Okay, it's a good start. Anyway, let me introduce myself. I know there's, put my glass on so I can see you. Let me introduce myself first and foremost. I know most of you, but some of you I don't know. My name is Rob Jones and I'm assistant minister here in Core, and it's fantastic to have you all with us, may I just say. And we'll be around for a cup of tea afterwards, won't we, after the jacuzzi, for a chat. But there is a reason why we have a well in the middle of the church this evening. All will be revealed. I will be looking for two volunteers, and if you don't volunteer, I will pick you, John, Fung and Rui. So, but listen, just what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to continue on from where we left last week. Now, just before you say, oh, I wasn't here last week, Rob, what were you talking about? I'm just going to go through a little bit what we did. Last week, we looked at the whole idea of God being our comfort. And I have to be totally honest with you, it was a very practical talk and there was quite a lot of theory, and you were all very encouraging as you are about it, and there was texts and phone calls saying we really enjoyed your talk, but what were you talking about? There was a real sense of, as I was kind of trying to set the tone on this, I wanted for us to really look at this idea of the fact that God wants to reach to the very depths of our souls, and that we live in sort of these three levels of life. It's nothing new really when we think about it, but we live in these sort of three levels of life, and our first level is one, which is the center, God and you, and the second level is kind of the inner circle, which is close friends, family, partner, etc., and the outer circle is distant friends, work colleagues and so on and so forth. And what we were looking at is this whole idea that we have these longings and desires within us, don't we? And they form these three levels. And so we have number one, which is the crucial levels, your deepest desires, your longings. What makes you? What forms you? What roots you? What grounds you? Only you and God, if you like, know those things, and hence they're in the central level. And then there's critical longings like relationships, they're so important, families, friends, husbands, wife, whatever, partners. And then number three is casual longings, like I hope it'll be nice weather, which is something we long about a lot in Ireland, not at the moment, thankfully. And so we just looked at this, and where we left it last week was this idea that God brings us to the center, but we have this tendency to drift to the outer edge. And I think, as I said last week, we kind of talked about that, but people are like, well, what's the application for that, Rob? If I live a life in the center, what will my life look like? If I live in the center with God, what will my life look like? But if I live on the edge, what will my life look like? And so I want to look at two biblical stories tonight, just to give you guys some scriptures and also to give you something of encouragement to go away with. And I guess just to root this in my own life, I'm coming up to my 10-year anniversary, not my wedding anniversary, that's 7 years last Monday. Thankfully, I remembered with a big bunch of flowers on Monday morning. But I became a Christian about 10 years ago in 1999. And one of the things I've been thinking about recently is that how I went through this radical transformation in my life. A lot of you guys will know that it was amazing, some of you won't, but I had this real big transformation in my life. But yes, there was things in my life that I continued to struggle with. There was like parts of my life that were just, if you like, leaking away and stopping me being closer to God. And as a pastor, I walk around with you guys, I meet you for coffee, and we talk about things that you're struggling with. And so tonight, for myself, I want to look at this, what it means to live in the center and where are the areas that we leak, but also for you guys, where are the areas in your lives that you leak? Where are the areas in your lives, if you like, that bring you to this outer level? And so I have two stories I want to look at, fantastic biblical stories. The first one is from Jeremiah chapter 2. If you want to open that very briefly, you just have one scripture. John looked at that already this evening, but I just want to have a quick look at it now again. So you have the NIV, the New International Version Translation. I have this message paraphrase. It's not exactly a translation, but it's a paraphrase. Fantastic thing for looking at a commentary of the Bible. And so I'm just going to read it out. My people have committed a compound sin. In your translation, it'll be two sins, I believe. They've walked out on me the fountain of fresh flowing waters and then dug cisterns that leak, cisterns that are no better than sieves. So essentially, that's just a paraphrase of what you have there in front of you. And the thing is, you must understand on this passage, folks, many of you will know Jeremiah, but this was one of the most tumultuous, difficult times for the Jewish people. It was about 600 BC. All around Jerusalem, there was huge pressure from the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. A guy called Nebuchadnezzar, if you've heard of him, came along and he basically sacked Jerusalem. And so the people were under massive pressure. And because they were under massive pressure, they moved from the center to the outside ring. They stopped depending on God and they started depending on the things of the outer ring, if you like. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. And the interesting thing about Jerusalem is that Jerusalem has its own water source. You may remember in Samuel, when David came into the city, he climbed up to the water source, Gihon Spring, I think it is. Jerusalem has its own water source that never runs out. But they had forgotten that because of the new building and so on around Hezekiah and so on. They'd forgotten about this spring, and so they'd started literally digging their own wells. They started to go down, forgetting about the spring that God was providing for them. They started to dig these wells, and literally on one side is a practical application. They were digging these wells, but metaphorically, Jeremiah was saying, no, there's a spring in Jerusalem, and that spring is provided for you. That's why David took Jerusalem from the Jebusites in the first place, because it was a place where there was a natural artesian well, and they'd forgotten that, and so they'd moved to this outer level. And as I was thinking of this over the last few weeks, and as I was contemplating on this this passage, I was struck by two things, folks. The first is the actual physical thing of when you're living on this outer level, the idea of having to dig something yourself as opposed to it being provided for you. Now, has anyone here ever dug a massive hole? Random question, I know. Hands up. Oh, you have. Wow, fantastic. I'd love to interview you. Where, incidentally, did you in your back garden, you nothing to do, or just dig a hole? Well, I'd love to talk. In the where?
In the garden.
Oh, fantastic. Did you fill it in with anything? Oh, okay. We can talk about that afterwards. Brilliant. Well, I also dug a big hole, Rose, in Zimbabwe. Here I am working hard in the background there, letting the ladies do the work. That's me on the right doing the Irish roll, leaning on the shoulder and come on, ladies. That's Wilma on the left, Marissa. I think Marissa's here tonight, yeah. Hey, Marissa. And that's Marissa doing the great work, and I'm just doing the whole leadership thing and saying what to do. But anyway, the actual physical thing that Jeremiah's trying to say here is actually the idea of having to dig something and grind your way out when you're on that level three, if you like, is something that you don't need to do because there is an inner place where God can provide for you. And you're drifting out to that outer level essentially because of lack of trust, lack of faith. And I don't want to condemn you. We all do this. I do this. But God wants to pull you back. And so we dug the hole anyway. Next slide. Here we are in the hole, and we're all looking around. And the funny thing is, we got into the hole, and do you remember, Marissa? We couldn't get out. We all climbed into the hole. And here's the thing, that we do dig ourselves into holes. And I think after that, if you remember, Marissa, remember they threw water on us and they wouldn't let us out of the hole and they started joking. And then we realized the hole had no shuttering. There was a possibility of 10 people dying. So suddenly they pulled us out. But I think what I'm trying to say is, folks, just kind of in a funny sort of a way, is that Jeremiah is physically saying they're digging these holes, but metaphorically he's saying that they're doing something that they don't have to do. The physical, you know, sort of begrudgery that they have to go through the digging of these holes when there is a spring that God has provided for them. Because they're having this outside pressure from the Neo-Babylonians, they're tending to just drift back to their old ways. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, in my life, in your life, when we're going through times of pressure in our relationships, in our work, and with our families, we do drift back to digging our own holes. I do, maybe you don't, but I would say, if we're honest with ourselves, we do that. And they did in Jeremiah's time, and they do in Jesus' time. The second point then about the passage of Jeremiah, the first is that the idea of having to dig something when there was already a provision made by God which they'd forgotten about, is that the second point that we see, isn't it? They're cisterns that leak. So not only did they dig a big hole, but they also dug holes that leaked. And so they were forever digging these holes. There's great commentaries about this. People like Kenneth Bailey talk about Jerusalem being patchworked with these holes where they're trying to dig down for water. But when the water came in, they just leaked out. And so the second point is that invariably when you try to dig these holes in your life to try and get yourself out of situations, it ends up being counterproductive. Because there is a leaking away. There is this kind of evaporation, if you like. And that's exactly what happened for these guys. Not only were they digging cisterns, but they were digging cisterns that leaked. And so just to kind of land this, take it away from 500 BC, I was really thinking about this over the last few weeks because we're under huge pressure here, not only in Dublin, but worldwide. Not only as Christians, but as people, because of the economic situation, as people, but as Christians, that tension that we as Christians receive from the world to conform, to no longer tell people about Jesus, no longer spread our word, it's post-modernity. And if you like, for the Jewish people, they had succumbed to the outside pressures. We too also, I think, in some way, have succumbed to those outside pressures. I don't know about you, but when you're sitting there in the pub and the conversation is heading towards a spiritual direction, which it maybe does after 8 or 9 pints of Guinness, but you know within you there's a sense of wanting to share your faith. Does anyone resonate with this? There's something that's coming, and then there's that, oh no, no, what'll they think of me? Oh no, no, I can't do that. That is because of this external pressure that is pushing you to the outside ring rather than staying close with God and just sharing that. I do it as well. I'm not castigating you. It's one example of many of this external pressure. So back to Jerusalem, 500 BC. They were having this external pressure. They'd gone away from the living spring. They started digging their own holes, started to try and do it themselves. And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came in, sacked Jerusalem, took who was a Zedekiah captive, killed all his children. Daniel ended up in Babylon, and they had to start from scratch. And there in the middle of it all was Jeremiah saying, if you read on down through Jeremiah 2, 3, 4 and 5 and on to the end of the chapter, he's saying, just go back to God. Just go back to the center. Just go back to that center place. But they were unwilling to do that. And again, I don't want this to be something heavy and hard for us, because it's a very encouraging thing, as we'll find out later on. So that's the first story. The first story is of a group of people under pressure, and they decide to dig their own holes. Second story, let's go all the way to the New Testament, to John chapter 4. If someone wants to shout out a page there quickly. John 4, 1-42. So think in your mind's eyes, we have a group of people under huge pressure, and justifiably so. They begin to drift back to the old ways. What we've said so far is that in our lives, under pressure, under stress, under tension, we invariably drift back, but God in his loving kindness pulls us closer to him. Now here's a transposition and something that is inversely, it's opposite to what is going on in the book of Jeremiah, John chapter 4. What we have here, I'm not going to read the whole thing out, I'm just going to summarize it for you. If you can kind of listen to me just for a couple of seconds, because I know it's a fantastic section of scripture. But what's happening here is, for those who love John's gospel, this is a classic story of John explaining God's miraculous power happening in the day. If you read through John in your own time, this is a little side thought, but if you read John in your own time, you'll find always in the night time, bad things happen. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the dark. Those come to take Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in the dark, but in the light, the amazing things happen. And so what's happening here in midday is an amazing story of a woman coming to Jesus. So what's happening? Jesus is at the well alone. The disciples have gone to the local city to get some food or pick up a kebab from Abu Kebab or something like that. The women come at midday, and here's the amazing thing. A woman coming at midday, women never came to the well at midday. They always came in the mornings or in the evening. So there was some issue in her life. She didn't want to see people. Jesus does not retreat, as is his custom. Jesus asks for a drink from the well. A woman's confused. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Why are you talking to me? And here's the thing. This woman is having issues with her husbands. She's had divorce. She has all sorts of things going on. She's living on level 3. She's living on that outer level. And instead of castigating her, Jesus has this great section of scripture after the woman says, and this is what it is. It's up on the screen behind you. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Because Jesus was sitting on the well with no bucket. And she was like, hold on a second, you're saying give me a drink, where's your bucket? As we see, Jesus says, I am the bucket. Where can you get this living water? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water from this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him or her a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So here is the transposition. Here is the difference. There is a group of people in Jerusalem that are drifting away and doing things yourselves. There's a woman who's doing things herself and drifting away. And Jesus says to her, come back to me. I am the living water. And as you read down that section, the opposite happens in Samaria as it did in Jerusalem. There's an amazing outpouring of God's blessing in the Gentile community. A group of people that move from level 3 back to the center. And God's kingdom expands hugely. John even records it in 3 lines of scripture, which is huge when the rest of his gospel is Jewish in focus. So you have a group of people that instead of bickering and quarreling about the issues of life, they listen to Jesus and they go to level 1 with him. They go deep with him. And they go and drink that water which can never run out. And you have that tension in scripture all the time, folks, of a group of people or individuals that are living one way and God's pulling them back. If I was to overgeneralize, that's the essence of the Bible. Man walks away from Adam. Man walks away in Adam. God pulls him back. God pulls you back. Whatever situation you're in, he's pulling you back. Drink from me. Come to me. My living water will never run out. It is in your job situation, your relationship situation, your family situation. God is calling you to go deep with him, going deep with God. And just think for that in a couple of moments in your life. What are the areas that are level 3? I think for me, if I'm honest, it's busyness. I tend to be too busy and I tend to want to get stuff done and out in that level 3, but God says, come close to me and I will come close to you. So if you like, when you walk to Jesus at the well, what is the area of your life that he's saying, drink this water, it will never run out? So 2 groups of people, one doing things themselves, another group of people after this interaction with the woman at the well, actually drinking deep. But here's the fundamental difference I want us to take away tonight. I've explained many kind of differences, but here's the fundamental one. The difference between a cistern is that it needs an outside source, yeah? It needs something to continuously fill it. The well was a cistern. It needed something to continue to finish. Jesus was saying, I am the spring. I will never run out. And so we've already heard tonight from David that God will never run out. He will never run out on you. He will never stop flowing. He will never give up on you. And that's essentially what was happening in the story when the Jewish woman was listening, or the Samaritan woman was listening to Jesus. And I have a little illustration just to kind of go through that in your own mind. The difference between, are you digging your own holes and are you looking for something to sustain you that is finite? Or are you going to the very source itself? Now here's where I need 2 volunteers. Who's up for it? It's not going to be very good without anyone to help me. Come on. Thanks, Quentin. Thanks very much. Yeah. Okay. Rory, would you give me a hand as well? Guys, just turn around and go back to the well here, and we just do this little example. So I'm sorry for dismantling your well, Bina, and also Cameron, and also for those on the internet who are listening. If you just turn off the water there for a sec, that'd be great. Okay. Just very briefly, I have this illustration, and what I'm trying to do with this illustration is that I'm trying to say to us that we can spend our lives focusing, you wouldn't just get to turn off the water there, this will overflow for 2 seconds. We can live our lives, okay, and I'm just going to share this with you, this illustration. If you go away with this, at least, fantastic. Or the picture from me, of me in a hole in Zimbabwe, whatever. But I think we can either live our lives, okay, as the woman at the well was, by taking a cistern that was full of holes or a bucket that was full of holes and trying to fill it. Oh no, I need more water. Oh crap, my job's falling apart. I need to just maybe go and do this. Oh no, my marriage is breaking up. What am I going to do? More water. I need more water. I just need more water. I need more water. Oh no, I'm empty. I'm empty. More water. I need more water. I need more water. And then, in a relationship with Jesus, the holes and the brokenness, the rips out lives, those things which keep us apart from God, God heals and God restores and God fills up the holes. Until we don't leak so much anymore, but we still do leak. We still leak a little. We still leak, not so much, but we're still leaking. And if we were to go through this, you'd eventually become dry again. But what God wants us to do, and this is the illustration, hit the water there. Is that this water, if you like, is finite. Just keep filling up, keep filling up, keep filling up. But this is the illustration. This is the spring. This is the fountain. This is that thing that never runs out. Just talk amongst yourselves there for a second. So what's going to happen here, folks, is that myself and my four-year-old son drilled holes in this at 4 o'clock. And the holes are quite small. And we still do have leakage in our life as we grow. We know that. We definitely have leakage in our lives. But as God heals us, someone hold that there now, just from the handle if you could. So you see the leakage comes out. See, there's leaks coming out there. And as we grow and as you mature, the holes become smaller. There still will be leakage until we get to glory. But here's the thing. What's going to happen? Yeah? Overflow. Look. And even in our brokenness, even in our weakness, even for that Samaritan woman, God, we can overflow still. But the thing is, if there's not the finite source, if there's not the spring, if there's not... Is your arm all right? If there's not this continual thing, like if I stop that, what's that? What happens? Overflow stops. So that's what I'm trying to say in this talk, folks, is that it's just as simple. You are broken. The holes will get smaller as we mature. But without this, the overflow stops. And that's where the joy is. In whatever situation you're going through, like I've seen people in the hospice who are dying of cancer, Christian people, and they're just so joyous because God is doing something and it overflows into my life. And that's what Jesus did to the woman at the well. Thanks, Rory. And the last one, we don't really have time for this, but this is no holes. This is Jesus. And we can leave that filling now until the end of the service. But he doesn't leak. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have issues with sin anymore. He was just emptied out on the cross and then filled up by the Father. And if we were to leave that running, he would just continually overflow into our lives. And so that's what Jesus was doing at the woman at the well. He was overflowing into her life. And even with the brokenness and the sin, he didn't judge her. He didn't say, fix your holes. He just overflowed into her life. And now I know the metaphor is quite stretched there, but I want us to look at our lives and think of the water running into our situation. Just listen to it. It doesn't stop. That's the thing about God. It doesn't stop. I promise you. Story upon story from people here could just bear testimony to that. It doesn't stop. It keeps going. Your job, your work, your family. And then eventually, he'll just start overflowing. And if we're willing, and if we sit underneath him, I was going to do some beautiful sort of champagne type overflow thing, but don't have time for that. He just fills us up. So Rory, I need your strong arms again. I think this is a beautiful image. Myself and my kids were just doing this afternoon. That's where you might need a hand. Are you all right, Rory? Just at the cross, there was an overflowing that started for all eternity, you know. Anyway, enough of the metaphor. If you could turn off the water, that would be great. So, in summary, and to finish up, we're closing now, and I've got some scriptures I want to share with you so you can take away with digging or filling up your own cistern with a finite source. It's not sustainable, but just think when you go away, that's God. That's his love, that's his grace, that's his power, that's his love for you. That's it. Just keep that image in your mind. It's beautiful. I love it. So where do we see that in Scripture, Rob? Well, Psalm 36:9. For with you is the fountain, John read it out, spring of life. Same word in Hebrew. And that's what God is saying to us. I am your fountain, I am your spring, I am the one who sustains you. So practical, just to finish up, how do I do this, Rob? How do I get from level one to level three? How do I move deeper? Some practical things I've learned in my life, quiet times every day. My wife is, Dillis is her name, is very gracious with me. She takes the kids and gives them breakfast, apart from the Saturday when we bring her breakfast in bed. But every day she allows me to have a quiet time. I find if I don't have that, the water comes away and I become empty. Gather with Christians. Be intentional about that. It says in the Bible, don't stop meeting, as some have chosen to do in the first letter of John. Pray, hugely important. And these might sound, I know these, but these are the things, if you like, that help us go deeper. These are the places to push in. Pray, that's something I've learned from John in my time here with him, is just pray in and out of season. Just pray, pray, pray. If you're finding it hard to pray and you feel empty, go to the mountains as I do on Thursday evenings. Go to the cinema, listen to a music, go out with a friend, find ways that enthuse you. When your bucket's really leaking, as it were, find the places where you can be open for God to fill you. Read the Bible frequently. It's a lamp unto my feet. I meditate upon it day and night. It never returns void. Read God's word. And finally, be intentional about plugging the leaks. What are they in your life? Are they pride? Are they lies? Are they pornography? Are they issues around how you view yourself? Are they issues of relationship that you're going with your families or whatever it may be? What are the things that you're leaking? Because it says in, I think it's 2 Peter 1:5, it says, make every effort to add to your faith. And there's a whole list of things. And at the end it says, because if you do not do this, you will be unproductive. I'm not saying that you won't be filled up by God, but the overflow is the productive area. when the gaps become and the leaks become smaller, the overflow is a productive area and flow into people's lives. And so here's some scriptures to take away with you. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of leaking buckets, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's not an individual thing there. There's two corporate sort of explanations. It's us and surrounded. We're not meant to do it on our own. And here's the beautiful thing I'd love for you to take away. We've already had a hint of it tonight, that God and Jesus, they are your friends. I came across this scripture when I was away on holidays. It's beautiful. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And we know in John 15, if God says, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends. That doesn't mean there isn't judgment and there isn't discipline. There is, but it says again in the pastoral epistles, God only judges those or disciplines those whom he loves. Last, those who are strong should help those who are weak. Those whose buckets are leaking all over the place, if you like, but those who have smaller gaps, overflow into their lives. Look for them, look for the issues, look for where they're stumbling and falling, and reach out to them as God has reached out to you. So let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight that my words and your words will resonate with your people, and if only what we can take away is that sound of the rushing water filling up our lives. Lord, I pray for us tonight, whatever situations we're going through, you know them, God. Just I pray you pour out your spirit upon them, and that your people would be open to that, and that they would make every effort to grow in their faith. And that we would move on from milk to solid food, God, in our lives, but do it together as a community. Not individually, but as a community. And I pray, Lord, as we sing this song, Tasha's going to sing this last song for us, Lord, all who are thirsty. I pray that we can even allow you to fill us up afresh tonight. So just as the guys are gathering up there, just allow God's Spirit to minister to you. And what I mean by that is that there was a beautiful scripture read out by someone, was it you? Yeah, about the God's Spirit leading us into all truth. Who was that? No, someone else, I think, a lady. But God's Spirit leads us into all truth. And so we really believe that through ministry or through the idea of just laying hands on, that God's Spirit really can lead us into all truth. So let's just allow him to do that.